practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue. And at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. Whenever you pray, go into your room and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret. And when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before even you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
The gospel for this morning is from Luke chapter 9. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. He took them with him and withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out about it, they followed Jesus, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to Jesus and said, "Send the crowd away so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And so they did so and made them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled. What was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Done this many times. A couple stands before this altar. It could be in any congregation, any church, any place, actually, outdoors. I've done some outdoor weddings. They stand in front of all these witnesses as they prepare to say their vows in marriage. The service of marriage promises to love one another. That's when usually the congregation says, like that. Promise to love one another in, here we go, sickness and in health, right? Riches and poverty, for better or worse. In other words, they promise to love each other with everything they've got. With everything they've got. And so I ask us this question: is that really wise? I mean, think about it. Is that really smart? Is it wise to love with such extravagance, to hold nothing back, to love without limit until death do you part? Dick and Alma Zentner, who died this week, were married 77 years. I can't even fathom that. Is that wise to love with such extravagance until death do us part? Ought not the bride, maybe, or the groom hold something back, right? Ought they not carefully consider just how much love they can muster for one another day to day and yet still maintain their cherished individuality? When I meet with couples, sometimes I will hold two books. I'll just place them like this on the table, and I lean them against each other, and I said, what will happen if one is taken away? And they say, well, the book will fall. I said, so what happens is when we lose sight of that we are individuals, when we are so kind of wrapped up in the other and lose that individuality, we're not as strong, actually. So what happens if you lose that and you just give it all up? The church says, go ahead, do that, right? In all the promises that people make. Love with unbridled enthusiasm and love with great extravagance. Love is a renewable resource, we say in the church, right? You can never outdo God's grace. In giving, you receive, and in receiving, you give. So maybe love is a spendthrift. Maybe love isn't very good at arithmetic. Maybe love doesn't work off the sum zero game. If you don't know what that is, just Google it. Jesus has been doing a lot of good things in this story that we hear from Luke. We also hear it in Matthew. He's exhausted, though, and so he withdraws to a deserted place. But by the time he arrives, word has spread and the place is anything but deserted. It's just filled up with people. There's a great crowd. Jesus somehow summons up enough compassion, though, to be with those people. We are told that he had compassion for them and cured their sick, but now it's getting late. The people are hungry, and the disciples, good disciples as they are, recommended to Jesus that he send away these multitude of people, 5,000 men plus women and children. Jesus commands his disciples, though, something interesting. You give them something to eat. The disciples say, where on earth, with our little resources, where are we expected to find food for so many people? All we have are five pieces of bread and two fish, no match for such a great multitude. And so the tension begins that can only be resolved through some fresh, miraculous, powerful intervention. So Jesus takes what seems like terribly meager resources, bread and a little fish, and he puts it in his hand, and then there is enough. In fact, there is an overabundance of food. Scarcity in the face of great need, that's what the story is. Scarcity in the face of great need is contrasted here with the gracious, extravagant abundance that is offered at the hand of Jesus. We note that the story doesn't simply end with, and all ate. It says, and they were also filled. They were fulfilled. They were satisfied, not just temporarily stuffed. The story doesn't even end with that as the miracle, if that's not enough. They took up what was left over, and they had 12 baskets. And they weren't just little baskets. They were 12 baskets that were filled with those leftovers. There is not only fulfillment, but a surplus. That's the way it is with Jesus. Even in a wilderness, even at the close of a day, as night falls, if Jesus is there, there is fulfillment, abundance, extravagance, and an overflowing of graciousness. Maybe you haven't heard it this way, but let me give you this scenario. Let's ask Jane to take on this job, said one of the members of the church council. Jane always does such a good job at everything she undertakes. Widespread agreement in the group, all in favor, right? Who's going to deny it? But then the pastor said, now, do you really think that's fair to Jane? Jane already has two or three jobs in the church. She's one of the busiest members, one of the hardest workers. That's just my point, says the chairperson. Everybody knows if you want a job done right, what do? You always ask the busiest person to do the job. Busy people always seem to be the people who are able to find time somehow to do even more. Or maybe you've heard this phrase, I love my family. I would do anything in the world for my family, right? You often hear folks say that, but that's not saying much after all, because our family all looks like us, right? We parents and grandparents have much of our own egos tied up into our children and grandchildren. But I know parents who are able to love even beyond the boundaries of their own. Pastor, we decided to adopt the foster child that we've been keeping. She's such a dear little thing. The parents have given him up or her up for adoption, and we think that we ought to do it, the woman said. Cautious pastor said, do you really think that's wise? You already have three children. You're a great mom, and you don't think that there maybe are limits? Aren't there limits to how much love you can share? Oh, she said, when it comes to love, I haven't found limits. From my experience, love feeds on love. It grows by being given away. The more you love, you give. The more love you give, the more love you seem to have. That's how it has been in my experience. And I think that woman is right. I'm reminded of all those strange little stories that Jesus told about a farmer who sows seed, right? Most of the seed was wasted. Did you know that? Falling on the wrong sort of soil. But when you are sowing good seed in bad soil, well, sometimes you have to overdo it. The seed that did manage to germinate and take root and produced, as Jesus said, an abundant harvest. Or how about in John chapter 2, the wine gives out at a party after a wedding, and what does Jesus do? He turns water into wine, and not just some water into a bit of wine. He makes, according to John's estimate, about 180 gallons. That comes to 52 cases, in our terms, of the best wine they ever had. Now, I'm a pastor, and I shouldn't know about all those things, right? That's a lot of wine. But he just didn't turn water into wine, which would have been quite a sign in itself, right? He made 180 gallons. That's an abundance. Or the father of the wayward prodigal son, right? Who runs off and wastes all his inheritance. He just didn't welcome the son back. I think probably we would have done that too. No, the father welcomed him back with a huge, expensive, wild party. Now that was extravagant. And it wasn't that the good Samaritan stopped and helped the wounded man on the road. I think we would have done that too. It was the way he stopped. The Samaritan put the wounded man in his car. He took the man to the hospital. He told the doctors, here's everything. Here's all my credit cards. Here's my checkbook, everything. I'll be back in a week. And if there's any other cost, just add it to my bill. I don't think he even knew the wounded man. Isn't that just a bit overly generous on the part of this Samaritan? Or so Jesus said at the end of the series of all those stories about parties, that when just one sinner, just one comes home and turns and repents, just one, heaven is going to have a huge party. Do you know how expensive parties are? Have you had a wedding lately? Imagine what good catering costs in heaven these days. Extravagant. Jesus told stories of such abundance and extravagance overflowing again and again. God, you see, is like that. God could have made one shade of flower, say a red poppy, right? And this would have been a miracle enough for most of us. But the other day I was in the midst of a field, and it was just reds and yellows and greens and blues all over the place. It just filled the place. That's what God does. Makes millions of colors. That's creatively excessive, don't you think? And all the rich array of races, all the colors of people these days, all the diversity of shape and size, of sound and sense. Oh, let other gods be stingy, miserly, and cautious and careful. But this exuberant creator that we worship overdoes almost everything. Here is a God who, when God started creating people or flowers or birds or stars, just didn't stop. You see, perhaps God knew that creativity is a renewable resource. I know people who have faced crisis upon crisis. And I don't know how they've done this, but they still manage to get up and somehow go on for the next day. It suggests to me that courage and determination, maybe like love, may be a renewable resource. But life has limits, doesn't it? The average lifespan of American is today, they say 74. That means that I have only a few years left. Yet I've known people to throw away the majority of their few years on a group of thankless, hopeless, tough kids in some classroom. I know a woman who's wasted 40 years of her life creating and running a home for unwed mothers. Jesus tells a parable about a boss who called his employees together and gave to them everything that he owned, every single cent. And then he went on a journey. The employee who got half of the property went out, wheeled and dealed, and doubled his holdings. The one who got a fourth of the property did the same. But a prudent, cautious employee took the 1/8 that he got, buried it in the field, and he kept it all safe and sound. Oh, was the boss mad at that cautious, prudent employee when he returned? You know, there seems to be something built right into the nature of God that tends towards extravagance and abundance. Wyatt, your parents and godparents and family system and the whole community of God's people will spend your lifetime demonstrating to you the depth of God's extravagant love. Jesus taught on a hillside. And he looked at this large crowd. It must have been at least 10,000 of them. But they got hungry and night was coming. So what do you do? Well, here's the advice of the disciples. It sounds like us. Send them back to town, Jesus. Send them back so that they could buy something for themselves to eat. But what did Jesus say? You give them something to eat. And they said, we don't have much. We don't have much at all. A posture that we take so easily. And Jesus looks at those few loaves and a couple of miserable cold fish. And he blesses them. And he breaks the bread. And he gives it out. And a wonder of wonders, it's enough. No, Luke says, it's more than enough. 12 baskets more when everyone was full. See, the thing was, there wasn't just enough. There was more than enough. When we pray that familiar prayer that probably has become so redundant we don't think about it enough, but when we say in that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, let us think about how extravagant God is and has been and will be, so that we who are the beneficiaries of that gift can be always alert and aware to how we can share that gift with others so that their life may be full as ours is. Amen.
Please stand as you're able.
finally, I have